Welcome to the Courageous Recovery Broadcast. I'm your host, Randy Mortensen. This is a weekly 20 to 25 minute program where we provide answers for your I don't know how. Whether you're dealing with recovery issues, emotions from a loss, or maybe life has just thrown you one more curveball than you were expecting, I'm so glad you're here. Today, it's just a huge blessing to be able to share a powerful testimony from a friend of mine named John Farrell. And he will share with you just the importance of the 12 steps in his life and just the power of prayer and how that's impacted his life. It's always great to see on this live broadcast that we have people joining us from coast to coast. And thank you so much for taking time from your busy schedules to listen in. And if you're on one of the mediums that allows you to put something in the chat box, please do. If you're watching this on one of the normal podcast distribution networks, please click the button to subscribe and please leave any comments with your thoughts. Because we just love the feedback and the input. More information on this topic is available at my personal website, which is randymortensen.com. That's Randy Mortensen, MORTENSEN.com. Later in the show, I will talk more about the 21-point assessment that is a tool to determine whether you or maybe a loved one qualifies for one of my programs called the Lifestyle Champion Cohort. And it's just a great pleasure for me to be able to announce today a new sponsor on this program. The technology is the Active Pure technology, and this really shows a 99.9% reduction in airborne SARS and COV2 virus within 3 minutes. And what I love is one of their bylines that is, breathe easier knowing your air is clean. And poor quality air can irritate eyes and throat and aggravate asthmatic symptoms and really even affect your cardiovascular system. In this time of a pandemic, just be sure to make your home and your business safe. And with the Active Pure technology, you can ensure clean air because there are air purification systems that offer top-notch products that you can trust as we're looking to prevent even the spread of COVID-19. And the science behind this technology is incredible. And you can reach out to me at 321-757-HOPE. That's 321-757-HOPE. And there will be more information coming on the Active Pure technology. Thank you so much for being a sponsor of this broadcast. And without further delay, here's the testimony from my friend, John Farrell.
Okay. Hi, everybody. How you doing? So I've got my timer started. Okay. So my name is John. I'm a Christ follower. I'm also a recovering alcoholic. My sobriety date is March 10th. And I always have to stop and do a little bit of math. 1986. And I share that not so I can take credit, but that I can give glory to God. Because it's only through turning to Him and taking action, is that better?
Yes.
And taking action that I'm standing before you about to tell you my story. And I'd like to open up with a prayer. Next slide, please. There it is. Okay, so this is the prayer of St. Francis. It's also in the 11th step of the 12 and 12 of Alcoholics Anonymous. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace. That where there is hatred, I bring love. That where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness. That where there is discord, I may bring harmony. That where there is error, I may bring truth. That where there is doubt, I may bring faith. That where there is despair, I may bring hope. That where there is our shadows, I may bring light. That where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds. It is by forgiving that one is forgiven. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. And I wanted to open with that prayer because I read that prayer about 2 or 3 months into sobriety because it was part of the 11th step. And to be honest, when I read that prayer, so much of it just went, how in the world am I supposed to do that? I'm worried about myself getting well. And so we'll start right there. So I was pretty young when I got started. I was 14. At the time, I was a smart kid. I was one of those that can make A's and B's without studying. I was also athletic. I played football, baseball, any sport. I hung out with the jocks. I hung out with the brains, but I also really got into we called them the druggies at the time. And I locked all 3 groups, and I never felt like I belonged in any one place. Started drinking at 14. About that time, I was also baptized. And it wasn't long afterwards that I walked away from that. Because I learned that all I got to do is pray for forgiveness and I'll be forgiven. So the way my brain worked was, okay, I just got to make sure that I pray before I die and I'm good to go. Got through high school. By the time I was a senior in high school, I was drinking, smoking marijuana fairly regularly. My grades took a dive, but I survived. I went to Florida State, failed out, finished a JC, went back to Florida State, failed out. We're starting to see a pattern here. By then, I was drinking every day. And I remember stopping at one point and realizing it had been about a month that I've been drunk every day for the last month. And then I just forgot about that and kept right going. It wasn't until after failing out the second time and needing an excuse that I went to my first meeting. I went to my first meeting because my father is also an alcoholic, and he was a recovering alcoholic as well. And I said, well, I'll just go to an AA meeting, and it'll all be good. And it worked for a while. And it was about a year after my first meeting, I'd gone out again. I found out afterwards that I was actually on my way out. My parents had decided it was time for me to leave the house. And it was going to happen that morning of March 10th. And I woke up, and there was something different about me, so they let me stay. See, up to that point, for those of you that know the steps, everyone would ask me what step I'm on, and I'd say, I'm on step 4. Oh, okay, well, what have you written so far? Well, I haven't written anything. And I found out that morning it was because I was still on step 1. It was really, really hard for me to admit that my life was unmanageable. Because if I can't manage my own life, then who am I? What am I worth? But that morning, I said a really simple prayer. God, I don't know who you are. I don't know why you are. I'm not even sure you exist. But if you do, I need your help. And I will do anything. If you're not there, I'm doomed. And it was here. It was a moment of truth for me. And people have asked me since then in sobriety, people that don't suffer from addiction are always like, well, isn't it just a matter of willpower? Or why can't you just stop? And they asked me, well, what it was like. And I've always thought it was like when Jesus would heal a leper. If you go to the next slide, please. This is the best way I've ever thought of to describe what suffering from addiction and needing miracle from God to recover feels like. So when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately, he was cleansed of his leprosy. And that's what happened to me. Since that morning, I have not had the desire to drink, which is good because I had a whole other huge pile of stuff to work on, and I'm still working on it to this day. So the desire to drink was gone, but everything else took work. I went to my sponsor at the time, asked him what to do, And that was the first time I'd ever gone to someone else for help, willing to listen to what they said and to actually do it. All the time up to that, I would listen to what people said and I'd decide, okay, well, I know better. I'll do it my way. Of course, that got me into the place that I was. He said, well, go do the steps. And so that's what I did. I started writing, and I finally started writing. I actually wrote a 4-step. Now, it wasn't a great one, but it was good enough. And I went straight into step 5 and on from there. So I did the steps in probably 2 months once I had that morning. And if I can pass on anything, it's that my faith in turning to God for freedom from drinking, followed by action, is the key to my recovery. And it continues to be to this day. Next slide, please. You foolish person, and that's me, by the way. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And that's me. My deeds and my faith made me what I am today. So then I went right back to the book. Step 6, which we're talking about tonight. The first time I tried, it was real easy to be willing to have all my defects of character removed because I didn't know what I was asking at the time, but I did the best I could. I followed the 12 and 12. I went home. It said wait an hour, so I waited exactly 1 hour, and I said the prayer that's in the 12 and 12, verbatim. Walked up and thought, okay, I'm done dealing with all that, and let's get on with life. Step 8 and 9, I made my list of people I'd harmed. And to me, there was a really big one in there. There was, I had to apologize to a bowling alley where I worked, and I used to steal a lot of beer. And I had to go to that manager, and I decided, I'm going to tell him that I stole, 100 cases of beer over the time I was working there. And I went there expecting to get arrested. And I'd always thought this guy was the biggest jerk before this. And I told him that. I told him what I was trying to do. I'm trying to get sober. I'm doing steps. And I did this. And he just smiled at me and goes, I'm proud of you. Keep doing that. And got up and walked off. So I didn't spend the night in jail that night, even though I fully expected to. I was pretty much on cruise control then. I had my first time of ever having to truly turn something over. Because in the middle of all this, around 10 months, well, actually about 6 months, I got a letter from Florida State for readmission to college where I had failed out twice. And, okay, they must have been a clerical error. I mean, there's no way they would want me to come back. And I went to, and I freaked out. I started projecting that word. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. And my sponsor said, he slowed me down. And he told me, well, why don't you just fill it out, send it in, and leave the results up to God? What a concept. So I did, and then I got accepted. And it's like, okay, that's interesting. So I went back, I was scared to death, and the first semester I was there, I made straight A's. I had never done that in my life. I was at a meeting every night, I was eating healthy, I was physically fit, I was making friends, and I made straight A's. A math teacher actually knew me from before. He knew how bad of a student I was. So imagine the shock when he handed out the first test and he always recognized the highest score. And guess who had the highest score? One of many miracles that's happened. And then, of course, that semester ended. I moved in with some friends, had fun, and I failed out again. So I failed out of Florida State 3 times. And I was back home, and now the honeymoon's over. So I've been sober for a while. It's about getting close to 2 years now. And I realized that I still had a big old pile of stuff to deal with. And a very smart person told me to carry around a notebook and just write whatever came to mind. And that turned into another 4-step. And There's a lot of debate over how many times you should do a four step, et cetera, et cetera. I did two. My second four step had over 1,000 resentments. I just started writing down all the snap things that would go through my mind. I would see someone that had more money or more success than me. And in my mind, I would find out something negative or say something, well, he doesn't look good, or he drives a bad car, or I'd find something to talk him down so I would feel better. And I did a lot of things like that. I never realized it until I wrote them all down and went back and looked over them and saw a lot of patterns that's like, ooh. And so I figured that prayer was the answer. And because I just did not like who I was. It's like, I'm sober. I should be better now. And instead, I found out how messed up I really was. And there was one time I was sitting by a lake in my parents' backyard, my favorite meditation spot. And I said, God, I don't know what to do. You're going to tell me what to do. And I'm going to sit here and I'm going to stay until you tell me what to do. Now, I don't know how long it was. It was probably only 10 minutes. It felt like 2 hours. And after being there for a while, I finally realized that in the back of my mind there was a song playing. It was that Olivia Newton song, Olivia John song, I Love You, I Honestly Love You. And it had been going for a while. And it's like, okay, that's my answer. You know, so once again, it was back to action. That's where I learned the true meaning of step six and step seven. So it's interesting we're talking about it tonight. I had days where I would do 107 steps in one day because I'd find myself in one of those old ways of thinking, and I'd stop and I'd pray for it to be removed. And I don't know how long it took, but eventually they started to get removed. And if you could go to the next slide. I love James. And I believe that this is what happened for me. So submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And I'm the sinner, and I'm the double-minded. And I still am. But we're getting there. So about that time, I finally finished a bachelor's degree. The one really big thing left that was really messing me up was relationships with people, and especially with girls, I'll be honest. I had a lot of what I call two-week wonders. I would meet someone, fall madly in love. It would be for 1 week, and then for 1 week, and then it was over. And I would walk around picking all the defects of character that had fallen off of me again. Okay, yeah, I did that again. That's a new one. I hadn't seen that one before. I better write that one down. And continued working the steps. And I think the key is that, you know, I had made that decision at the right time. I turned my will over, and there was just a lot of legwork, a lot of footwork to learn about myself, to take the action to do something about it. And the steps guided me through that. So about 5 years or so, I turned the corner. You know, I met a wife, I'm still married. I went back to school and actually did not fail out. Got a master's degree, I've been working the job. I have kids, they're good kids. We're having our learning experiences just like everyone, but we love each other and we're supporting each other. And I got saved again. This time it was by choice. And that happened, and this is my last thing. It happened because I'd been sober, but I'd never really professed my belief in Jesus. And I went to the pastor of our church and we started going to and asked him, well, how is that possible? Because everything you're telling me is that Jesus saves. And I've been praying to God and I'm still saved. And so he just said, go home and read John. And I read and I found my answer. It's the last verse. Next slide, please. Okay. So John 6:45. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. And I share that because that's my story. It is possible to go straight to God. And when I went to him, I left it up to him to guide me. and he guided me to believing in his son, who I now know died on the cross so I could be forgiven. And it goes back to that first prayer, boy, if I'm not forgiven, I'm in big trouble. And thankfully I am. So it is possible. I'm coming up on 35 years of living this as a life. And I'm mostly at peace, and I'm mostly happy. I have the tools that I need today to overcome obstacles that are put in front of me. And there's been a lot of them. I want to close talking about this Trinity prayer and the prayer of St. Francis real quick. So we always say this meaning is Trinity prayer. And being an engineer, being a technical guy, I'd always say, okay, well, how am I supposed to know the difference? Just tell me which one is which, and I'll be glad to do it. I just need to know which one it is. And I can tell you, standing up here today, that I've learned a couple of things. One of them is that the serenity to accept the things I can change, or I cannot change, is everything out there, every person out there, and sometimes even me, okay? The thing that I can change is the way I think about things and the way I pray about things. That I can change. And the wisdom to know the difference, well, I've given up trying to figure out that. And the meaning of the prayer of St. Francis, I truly believe today that I am having actual experiences where I do believe God and Jesus speak through me in helping others. And I hope that he spoke through me tonight and that you can take something away from this. And I appreciate you listening. Thank you. All right. And,
wow. That is a powerful testimony of a life well lived. It just goes to show the powerful, redeeming love of our Heavenly Father. And John does such a great job of articulating the importance of the 12 steps in his personal journey. And then if you remember early on in his testimony, he said prayer was the answer. If you didn't get that, just listen to it again. Early on, as he was talking about what he was going to do next in that next season in his life, many years ago, he said, God spoke to him that prayer was the answer. Prayer is the answer. Just a couple of quick things to wrap up here. I am launching another 8-week program that is called the Lifestyle Champion Cohort, where we use Zoom technology to do the 90-minute weekly meetings. The first 30 minutes of each meeting is teaching. Throughout this cohort, there are three phases. Phase one is evaluate, and that's the importance of taking the assessment that is on the front page of my website at randymortenson.com. That assessment will actually tell us whether you qualify for the program, and I'll talk in another minute about some of the other elements of that evaluation. But evaluate is phase one. Equip is phase two, which is where a mild or moderate case of substance use disorder will afford you the opportunity to be equipped. And then the third phase is, now that you've figured out how to not drink or how to eliminate those compulsive and destructive behaviors in your life, it's time to enjoy. So it's phase one is equip, phase one is evaluate, two is equip, and three is enjoy. For more information and to get into our release database, please text CHAMPION to 66866. That's CHAMPION to 66866. And as I said, to see if you qualify for the Lifestyle Champion Cohort, download 21-point assessment that is at randymortenson.com. And then also, when you get ready to register, make sure that you mention LCC, that's Lima Charlie Charlie, because that entitles you to as much as a 50% discount from regular pricing. So as we close out episode 53, I just want to remind you of some startling statistics. Number one, overdose deaths have tripled since 1990. There's been an incredible increase in overdose deaths just in the last 14 months. Right now, in the United States, we're seeing more than 130 overdose deaths per day. It's costing our economy at least $800 billion annually. If you know someone who's struggling today, or maybe you're that person who's battling compulsive and destructive behaviors, please don't wait another day to seek help. You can reach out to me at my office number, which is 321-757-HOPE, 321-757-HOPE, or call someone you know and trust. Those who are dying are husbands, wives, sons, and daughters of someone who loves them. Today's the day. If you're interested in a free download of my ebook titled The Five Common Mistakes When Pursuing Recovery, text CHAMPION to 66866. That's CHAMPION to 66866. I hope you found the information helpful today. The testimony, my prayer is that it made an impact in your life. Look for the replay of this to be available on usual podcast online outlets like Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many others. Have a blessed day and be extraordinary today.